Hello and welcome to Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Heath Waters here today to talk about his entrepreneurial journey. Welcome, Heath.
Thank you.
So you are not from here, the Upper Cumberland. Where did you grow up?
Grew up in Tullahoma.
Tullahoma. So it's kind of near this region enough.
Middle Tennessee.
So as a kid, did you think that you would be a business owner at all?
Yeah, I think so.
What do you, what kind of things growing up kind of made you think this might be your path?
My dad is always a business owner, so I think I just kind of followed after his footsteps. So
do you think you kind of just thought, well, that's the way to do it because that's normal in our household?
I think so, yeah.
And you decided that you were going to go to college?
Yeah.
And you got a degree in what?
Logistics.
And what did you think? I mean, did you think at that time, like, I just need this piece of paper to do it? Because you don't necessarily need it.
No, it wasn't a question. It was kind of one of those things where you're going to college.
Right,
so.
Right. So why logistics?
I actually started out, I worked for a rental store through high school and actually started out in ag business. And there was a concentration in heavy equipment and management and started in that and just really didn't feel that comfortable with it. So I started kind of just, you know, obviously in the business college, I started just taking more business classes and logistics was kind of more my personality. So,
and so once you, do you think as a kid you had any of those, did you sell things to your neighbors?
Yeah, I've got a funny story. Like my mom like would, you know, buy us little Debbies or whatever. And she noticed like they were going really fast. This is like, I'm in first grade, I think. And so she was like, Heath, are you selling little Debbies? And I said, yes, ma'am. She goes, how much you selling them for? I said, $1 a piece. And she was like, you got a lot of your daddy in you, but we don't need to sell our snacks anymore.
Did you get in trouble on the playground at all with that? I think the school's frowned upon.
Well, my uncle was the principal, so I don't think I got in trouble. Okay. But in the hallway, they had a little like vending machine. You could buy pencils and erasers, and it took dollar bills. And that's what I spent it on.
So. you had that idea and it, I mean, back when you were in first grade, you're not old, but you're not, you know, that was $1 was a lot of money back then for somebody to get his, you know, an oatmeal cream pie.
I mean, a box was probably $1.50.
So, man, that was a good side hustle at that age. So, so then you decided that you're going to go to school, and after school, you decided that you really wanted to own your own rental.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah. I worked for a, Fortune 500 companies, just sat in a cubicle, really good experience. It just really wasn't my personality. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to be more hands-on, ability to be outside a little more. The rental business was a good fit. Just decided it was time for something different here recently.
So you decided to come to Cookeville. Mm-hmm. Was there an existing business that was here to purchase?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so what made you choose Cookeville?
Well, just the business opportunity came up and my wife and I came up, or she wasn't my wife at the time, but I kind of was like, well, if you don't like Cookeville, then, you know, we'll find something else. But
and she was in the Destin, Florida.
She was actually in Fort Walton, the beach. So
and so you were like, hey, give up the beach and come to Cookeville,
exactly.
Tennessee. And so
in those rainy,
either Cookeville is really awesome or you're really awesome.
Right.
We'll have to ask Ashley what she thinks.
Right. Yeah, those rainy, snowy days. It was like, what was I thinking? So,
they probably have rental companies in Fort Walton Beach.
They do.
So that could have been an option.
Right.
But so you wound up here in the Upper Cumberland, mm-hmm. and you kind of grew the business from where it was at, correct?
Right.
And so you kind of became a big player in the equipment rental.
Right. And then got really active within the Tennessee Rental Association. And then later on, just with the nationwide rental association.
You've actually traveled to D.C. to do mm-hmm. some speaking on that.
I did some lobbying for the rental association, represented Tennessee.
What is that like? What does it entail?
So you'd show up and we actually have a full-time lobbyist and that lives in D.C. And he would just kind of go over the information he wanted to share with your representatives. So you would just make appointments, and most of the time you were just meeting with staffers, and you would go in and just kind of talk about the topics that are important to the rental industry. And it was, you know, pretty much bipartisan issues like infrastructure and workplace development. So it was usually things that most people, regardless of your political opinions, you usually agree on. So it was it was a pretty easy, you know, meeting.
But so. That's a pretty cool as a, you know, an entrepreneur in general or you know, in the equipment rental world to go to DC and be able to represent, you know, other entrepreneurs that are doing the same thing you're doing. That's right. Pretty big.
It was pretty awesome. It was a really cool experience.
How many times have you done that?
3 years in a row.
Okay.
And then I'm still involved with the Rental Association, and I'm hoping that I can go again this April and take another guy from Chattanooga and kind of teach him the ropes. It's not that it's hard, but it's kind of intimidating the first time, and it's kind of nice having somebody kind of job shadow.
So did you have somebody that went with you?
I did, yeah. The first year I went with a guy from Memphis that had done it a few years too, so.
And that kind of helped you.
Yeah, big time. Because I mean, it's a little nerve wracking.
Yeah, so. I imagine. I've actually gone when I was in high school to talk about STEM education, and so it is pretty interesting. Just I think the younger you are, the less fear you have sometimes.
Right. And then you go and then the staffers are typically right out of college. And occasionally you'd get to meet with your actual representative, mm-hmm. and that was always really cool. And Diane Black and John Rose were always. They would actually meet with you, and that was really cool to go a little photo op and kind of meet and greet with them for a few minutes. So.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about you as an entrepreneur in a second. In case you just joined us, you're listening to Local Matters, and I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and we have Heath Waters, and you're kind of becoming a serial entrepreneur. you were in the equipment rental business, mm-hmm. and you sold that company mm-hmm. within the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, give or take.
And so what are you doing now?
So now I am working for my family business, which is a answering service call center. And so a wide variety of businesses that we can help.
So it's called Mid-State Communications.
And so we do after hour and overflow calls. Majority of our business was developed off of medical field. And so a lot of doctor's office, after hours, emergency calls, we were the ones actually answering their phone calls. And then we do a lot of utility companies, you know, anything from a plumber to property management to, you know, doctor's offices, veterinaries. I mean, it's just a wide variety of businesses that we can help out.
So is this from your, you know, you said your dad has always owned businesses. So is this a company that you do with your dad?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My dad used to be in home health. And so this was something that he started that he could add an advantage to doctor's offices when he was going in. And he specialized in like hospital beds and home health kind of equipment. So each piece of equipment have a phone number on there, and if it were have an issue or broke or whatever, you would have to call that number. And we couldn't find a good answering service to answer, so we started one. So
isn't that amazing how that's kind of how entrepreneurial start? That it's like, well, there's this problem, and instead of just kind of complaining about the solution, I'm just going to go find a solution
for it. Right.
And so, so far the couple businesses that you've done have been things that you've joined other people or you've taken over. Any passion for yourself to start something from scratch?
I don't know. We'll see.
There's a lot of time left for you.
Right.
So what do you find most rewarding about being an entrepreneur?
The challenge probably. So I'm on a follower type of personality. So I'm kind of a natural leader, at least in my opinion. So, just the challenge, really. So
the challenge of kind of finding new solutions and coming up with different things. One thing that I really admire about you as an entrepreneur, and we've talked about this before with your employees. So when you were doing the equipment rental business, you had a lot of young men employees. So they were probably 18 to 25.
Yeah, give
men.
Or take. Yeah.
And so society is kind of putting this, those millennials kind of thing on that, especially young men of that age. And anytime I've worked with them, they're super polite. They're very respectful. They really do a great job of presenting Blue Waters equipment rental. And so how do you do that? How do you instill this generation that, you know, wants to be on their phone all the time, doesn't want to communicate? How did you develop that culture in your company?
I can't say that I can take credit for all of that, but I mean, my guys kind of helped filter out the ones that they knew would be a good fit for Blue Waters. And it just kind of carried on for 10 years. And I got really lucky. I think my leadership ability, like I was right next to them. I wouldn't tell them to do something that I wouldn't do right next to them. And I think that helps you respect your superiors mm-hmm. Versus somebody sitting at a desk all day just harping and yelling at you. If you lead by example, I think that's the best way.
I feel like you've almost been a big brother to some of these guys. That,
yeah.
You know, do you feel like they come to you with personal things?
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And
I mean, I legitimately cared about them too, you know, so whatever I could do to help them.
A mentor to them.
Right.
So have you missed that since you've...
Yeah, that's probably been the biggest thing I've missed. And I still keep somewhat communication with most of them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and so now...
I mean, I'm getting invited to their weddings and, you know, and stuff like that. So, I mean, I try to keep in touch with them.
Well, and I think that's really important in a company is to develop that culture where it feels like family.
Right.
And so now you are working with family, but, you know, you have how many employees with Mid-State Communications?
50. And there's some, you know, there's upper middle management there. And, of course, my first day, not to say that they were cold. I mean, they knew who I was and I had somewhat of a relationship with them, but... I just went in there making sure they realized I wasn't going to try to take their job and I wasn't going to change the culture you know, I've tried pretty hard to go in there and just build a relationship with them as well.
Do you think that you've had to adjust the culture that you looked at? I mean, they're very different
companies.
Very different.
Well, the biggest thing is just Blue Waters is so fast paced and like there was always something to do. And now I'm sitting at a desk or on the road. It's a little slower paced. So more than anything, it's just taken me some time to adjust to that. So,
yeah. And what do you think, I guess, comparing the two, which do you prefer? Is it just exciting because it's something new?
I'm excited for a new venture. So,
yeah. So that's, and I mean, there's definitely positives and
there's pros and cons with everything, you know,
yeah. So
it was just time for something new. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that's, and it's interesting that you were able to find something still in this area. So, Mid-State Communications is based where?
It's based out of Manchester, but, we can answer the phones for anyone nationwide. So I was actually looking at a map the other day and we actually had a couple clients that were in Alaska.
Oh, wow.
So it was actually a home healthcare company that had a couple branches up there that, we represent, so that's how we're in Alaska, but it was pretty cool just looking at the map. Majority of it's in Tennessee or the Southeast, but it was still pretty cool to see something that far west.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and you're listening to Heath Waters, becoming a serial entrepreneur. We've had a couple businesses now. So what we mentioned that you can service anywhere, and so you're located in Manchester. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that that limits you? I think sometimes people think of starting a business in the Upper Cumberland, you can't really grow it to the next level, or you can't really reach the potential that you want to reach. Do you think it's limiting being in Manchester, even maybe employee talent wise?
I don't think so. I think being in a smaller community, there's probably less opportunity. So people are a little more grateful for a job opportunity. I mean, we've had people that have been with us for 25 years and, I mean, still love their job, you know, and do everything they can to, you know, grow the business. And it's, you know, it's kind of a family in there. And I don't think Cookeville's any different. Cookeville's obviously a little bigger than Manchester, but I think people here are just appreciative of the opportunity to work and they're going to do what they can to do.
I think that you can know so much more personally. You can have the personal development relationships with people that you can't necessarily have in the big areas,
right,
where, you know, okay, well, I'm going to give this guy a chance because, you know, my mom's mom's mama knew.
Right, right. I mean, there's always the good old boy you know, aspect of that, but.
Right. Which I think then you can create a company culture, which we talked about a little bit ago, that maybe you can't develop as well in a bigger area because you don't know these people's history, or maybe you're not invested. You're so kind of fast paced life and work focused that you lose sight of the other values in life too.
Right. Right.
So what kind of economic impact do you think? So this company has 50 employees.
50 employees.
So that's a relative, especially for Manchester, mm-hmm, I'm guessing that's mm-hmm. a pretty big company.
Yeah.
Are there plans to expand, or where do you think that this could go in the next 5-10 years?
I hope so. I feel like maybe that our agents may not necessarily have to be in-house. I feel like the opportunity to grow would be a lot of remote agents, and that would allow people from wherever in the country, they could log into the computer, they could talk in the microphone just like I'm doing and still communicate. We do a lot of utility companies, so I think the remotes would be really nice in the future, because if Storm is in Manchester, it could potentially be in Cookeville too, or Murfreesboro or Tullahoma or whatever. Mm-hmm. So having somebody that would be out of state or in a different area of Tennessee that could do, you know, the calls for the utility companies would be beneficial too. So
yeah, that would be pretty interesting. I think that the workforce is going towards remote working a lot more. Mm-hmm. Do you think as a business owner, do you think that there's value in that option to be able to work remotely? Do you think, you know, I mean, the workforce has been the way it has been for, you know, hundreds of years or whatnot.
Right.
So is it, if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of thing? Or do you think that there is some value?
I think there's definitely value, but it's different for every market. You know, like the rental business, you couldn't do remotely or whatever. Right. What I'm doing now, I'm working from, you know, from home a couple of days a week. And the days I'm home, I feel like I'm getting just as much done, you know, working remotely than I am sitting in the office.
Yeah. Or maybe sometimes you want to work at some place like the Biz Foundry.
Or exactly. The Biz Foundry is an awesome place to go and get my job done. So,
well, and that's what we've seen, a trend of just, I mean, people based all over the country and they're just working, you know, there's so much that's done online these days that it's like all you need is an internet connection and a laptop and
right.
you can do your job. And so, and I think there's just a large value of, the like happiness of life,
right?
In being able to have a flexible schedule, and I mean, society's going to 4-day work weeks and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and they're seeing more productivity,
right.
Within that. So, you started this call center about within the working there, get involved. How long has the call center been around?
Almost 30 years.
Almost so. 30 mm-hmm. years. And your dad started it 30 years ago?
He did,
ago?
Yeah.
And how many employees did he have when he first started?
I think two.
Two employees.
Yeah, and they're still there.
Wow. So. Wow. And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
How have you guys kind of had that, like, look back conversations of where he's come with it?
Yeah, actually, the two ladies that have been there since the beginning, they're like our main managers, and they were showing me some pictures and the old switchboards, and it's just unbelievable what they were doing. So.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So in case you're just joining us, we're talking with Heath Waters formerly of Blue Waters Equipment Rental, and now with Mid-State Communications out of Manchester. So it's a call center.
Mm-hmm.
So just tell the listeners a little bit about how exactly that works. So to me, if I'm working at a call center and I get a call, I don't know anything about any of this stuff. So how does the training process work? What do these people
It's pretty extensive training. We do a lot of healthcare, so we have to do all the HIPAA regulations and everything. But let's just say, for example, the Biz Foundry uses. So we would set up your account, and we call it a MasterCard. And so we'd answer the phone exactly however the Biz Foundry wanted us to answer it. You know, if it were new clients that are wanting to come in, or what your hours were. So we would answer the phone, the Biz Foundry, Cookeville, how can I help you? And so we would have on that MasterCard the 10 most generic questions you may get asked. And so we'd be like, yeah, we're open from 7 to 5, but if you wanted to come in at 7, we can make a special appointment. Would you like me to contact the owner? To set that up for you. And so the person on the other line would never know that our agent wasn't sitting at the office at the Biz Foundry.
Yeah.
So you can make it exactly however your business wants to, you know, handle that situation.
So that sounds like a lot of extensive training.
Yeah.
Like you said, 'cause they need to to represent what your customers, right, your clients are wanting, kind of to be part of the Biz Foundry team if they're answering, right, the phone call for me. So, you know, your clients must put a lot of faith in you guys to put the right people that, right, are answering these calls.
And we have like an internal testing. So we record each agent every month, and we want to grasp the wow factor. So we want the person on the line to be like, wow, that person was great. You know, they gave me all the information. We want to give our clients the wow factor. So we don't want somebody just going like, well, yeah, they're open from 7. You know, we want them to be energetic and like actually know what they're doing. So
that's pretty cool. How do you get that wow factor out of people?
We just kind of make games in there and they kind of get competitive with it. So I mean, we try to make it as fun as you can for answer the phone all day. You
yeah.
know, so.
Well, I mean, the thing is I think that people's passion. I think sometimes people probably have looked at you and thought, you want to rental, you know, like construction equipment.
Right.
Like, how exciting is that?
Right.
Like, that's not very
right.
fulfilling throughout your day. But I mean, I think you did it with passion and you really enjoyed what you did.
Right.
And whether it was honestly renting a bouncy house for a 5-year-old birthday party or renting, you know, a sledgehammer for a demo. I think both of you went into both of those with such passion.
Yeah, and it was really rewarding, especially when you had the homeowners come in and they would rent something and you had to kind of explain to them how to do it. And then they bring back the equipment and they have this excitement on their face. Like, yeah, I did it. And they're showing you pictures on their phone. It was like, it just made you feel good that you were a small part of them feeling good. And, you know, the same thing with the bounce houses or the wedding stuff. When people were like, yeah, everything looked great, you know, for the wedding, or yeah, my 5-year-old, you know, had a best time and, you know, they slept great that night. The worst part about the bounce house is when you went back to pick him up and poor five-year-old thought that was his birthday present. And you're sitting there throwing it in the back of the truck.
You're ruining their day. So what do you know, that excitement of being able to be a part of somebody's home renovations or their wedding day, where do you feel like you get that from now? Because that's a pretty important part of your workload or your work day is to get those highs.
And my personality too, I'm kind of a goal driven, so I want to help people. So, you know, whenever you can save people, I mean, it's a substantial amount of money you can save people versus paying somebody full time to sit behind a desk or a nurse to sit there and answer phone calls. A nurse could actually be taking care of their patients versus making appointments or getting prescription refill requests. You know, the nurse can be doing what she wants to do versus talking the phone, and we can take care of the phone stuff. So when you have, you know, people calling in, doctors, and like, man, thank you so much. You know, when you get those calls back and people thanking you, it's rewarding.
Do you still get that contact with your clients like you were able to before?
That's what I'm trying to do is try to keep, you know, grow the business, obviously, but also kind of nurture our clients and just kind of show a little more face. So,
yeah, and then you kind of get what you need
right.
from your work environment as well. So we touched on this just slightly. So what's the future for Heath Waters? Not necessarily Mid-State Communications. What's your future, do you think?
Well, I'm staying in Cookeville, so we're not moving or anything. But I just hope to continue, you know, be a part of the community. And
that really, I mean, so we read this book called Have You Filled a Bucket Lately? So it's about, you know, kind of what fills your bucket, what fills your soul. And that's a huge part of you as well. So you're on a couple boards at different places.
Right.
And so you like to be really involved with a lot of things anyway.
Right.
So even if you don't get all that good feelings from your workload, you do other things as well.
Right, right.
And how important do you think that is as an entrepreneur?
I think it's very important as an entrepreneur, but also as a father and a husband. Like, we had a groundbreaking on this past week for Habitat, and we kind of skipped my daughter's gymnastics that night, because I wanted her to, wanted them to see, you know, what this ministry is all about. So we're driving through the neighborhood and they're like, you built these houses? And I was like, well, I didn't build them. I had a very, very, very small part of this, but like, I wanted you to see like what we're doing as a community to help people.
So how do if people are interested in looking into Mid-State Communications, how can they find you?
Just Mid-State Communications.com.
Okay.
And then you can call me on my cell phone, or you can call the office. And obviously an agent will answer if you call the office, but they'll relay the message to me and I'll get back to them. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming in. You're listening to Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton and Heath Waters from Midstate Communications.
Thank you.
Thanks.